We'll go as long as my voice holds out. Maybe about a 5-minute sermon. At least I'm not in any pain. It's just not much voice there, so we'll see how it holds up. It seems strange for me, because the one thing I usually have is a strong voice. Not this morning. Last week I gave Matt, as we had talked and looked at our schedule of teaching, I gave him what I thought was the insurmountable task. I was going to let him preach to the wise. And I thought, give him the hard stuff, nasty stuff, let him deal with the submission issues. And then as I read and studied this week, I realized what he had is a piece of cake compared to what I got. The biggest issue or the problem or the difference is he was able to preach to you. I have to preach to myself. Because the issue of hypocrisy becomes the toughest issue for a man to speak about husband. Unfortunately, although I thought she was going to be here, I came in much earlier this morning. My wife's not here. So that's good. Anyway, turn with me to chapter 3 of 1 Peter. We may deal with 3 verses, we may deal with 1, depending on how I hold up. But we're going to start just with 1 verse, chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. There are 4 points in this verse. We want to focus on each of them. Peter begins this section, "Yo, husbands!" I've been speaking to the wives. "Now, husbands, get this. Listen up, guys," is what Peter's saying. "You, men, live with your wives in an understanding way." Now, clearly in Scripture, there's the idea of mutual submission. There's a sense in which there's mutual submission, husband and wife, and there's mutual submission to one another in the body of Christ as well. Here, there's a directive beyond that and different from that. We know the verse in Ephesians. Every man knows this. Every husband knows this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Okay? Yeah, we know that when we get it. It's okay. We have to love our wives. We just don't have to like them. Uh-oh. Maybe we have misread that passage. Or maybe we've just read that passage and not the rest of what Scripture has to say. Because Peter takes it a different way. He's going to give us very specific directives on how we are to understand or treat our wives. Beyond them and different from loving them. Here he says, first off, understand your wife. This becomes the great insurmountable task for men. How many men have you heard say, "I just don't understand women. Can't understand women. Never will understand my wife. Never will understand another woman. I can get everything else in life, but don't want to touch that one." Well, Scripture says you're to understand your wife. We are called to understand our wives. Live with your wives in an understanding way. The word there is gnosis. A derivative of the word gnosis. To have knowledge of your wife. Guess what, men? You have a calling. A calling to spend all the years of your married life working at knowing your wife. understanding your wife. Learning and trying to know what makes her tick. It implies a sense of understanding of her. It is a cop-out to say, I will never understand women, therefore I don't have to try to understand my wife. The scriptures say, husbands, understand your wives. Know your wives. Know what makes her happy. Know what her greatest desires are. Know what she enjoys most. Know and understand her moods, her feelings, her needs, her fears, her hopes. How many times, wives, have you said something to your husband only to have to repeat it a short time after that? I'm glad my wife's not here, otherwise her hand would be the first one going up. We are guilty, husbands, of not listening to our wives the way we ought to. We're guilty of not hearing with our hearts because we don't see it really as important to us. Why? Because we've got so much other stuff to do. And so, when we come home or our time with our wives, that becomes periphery to us. It becomes insignificant to us. And so they tell us things, and we're sitting there reading, watching television, listening to the radio, doing crossword puzzles, whatever we do, instead of really listening with our hearts. Do you listen with your heart to your wife? Do you show her consideration? Men, live with your wives according to your knowledge and understanding, and you cannot do this without studying your wife. How can a husband show consideration if he does not know the needs, problems, and desires of her heart? Most of our marriages dwell in ignorance. We fail to really know one another. It is our responsibility, husbands, to know our wives, to understand our wives, to in a sense be a student of our wives. This is an imperative to Peter. This takes time and is the surest indicator that we care for those we love. But we all have a desire, a deep desire to be understood, to be known for who we are. And many of us, many wives particularly, enter into marriage with that desire, thinking, this will be satisfied in this relationship. And yet, many marriages grow colder and more calloused the more we are together in our relationships with one another. American men are very inept at understanding their wives on a deep level, which creates many, many disappointments, especially when he ignores her and focuses only on the externals of life, job, kids, activities. And the result is our wives often remain unfulfilled and barricades go up in our relationships. Nothing is able to break them down because we men remain aloof and unaware, thinking everything is fine. Look, it is more than just living together. Husbands are to promote an understanding of their wives, of their emotional, spiritual, and physical closeness, of intimacy. This is togetherness, and Peter tells us very, very clearly whose responsibility this is. Husbands, understand your wives. That's a lot harder than husbands, love your wives. We are to know our wives. a story when I was doing research on this about a man who made a vow, a New Year's resolution maybe, to be a more loving husband in the year ahead. So they went on vacation. And during this vacation period, he worked hard at noticing his wife and attending to her needs of trying to understand her. And it went great on this vacation. On the last night of the vacation, however, when he had decided, I'm going to continue living this way when we get home, his wife called him aside. She was very upset and finally blurted out, "Do you know something I don't?" "What do you mean?" he said. "Well," she says, "remember I had that medical checkup several weeks ago. Our doctor, did he tell you something? You've been so good to me. Am I dying?" She added. When it finally sunk into the husband what she was saying to him, he began to laugh and replied, "No, honey, you're not dying. I'm just starting to live." It's so easy to live our separate lives, even under the same roof. Maybe husbands ought to treat their wives like they're about to die. Maybe then we would get it. Because it takes time and effort. As men, we need to know our wives' personalities, our likes, our dislikes, her needs, her strengths, her weaknesses, her fears, and her joys. There's something else we need to know about women. Peter says she is the weaker vessel, since she is a woman. When Peter is speaking here of the woman as a weaker vessel, it's important to understand the language he's using. He is not referring to her moral character, her intellectual ability, or her spiritual strength. The context of the words used here clearly point to the fact that she is physically weaker. It points out, Peter's pointing out, the physical difference in strength. It comes from the word here for strength, asthenes, which has the prefix, the A, on the beginning of it, which is the negative, and stenos, the word for strength, or bodily vigor. So that she is without strength in terms of bodily strength, or has a limited physical capacity compared to the husband. So that there is a physical limitation on women, and that's all he's speaking of here. It's the physical difference between men and women. She is a weaker container, weaker in body. It is the same word used here when Paul, after his conversion in Acts chapter 9, and the Lord speaks to Ananias to go visit the blinded Paul, the Lord says to Ananias, "Go, because he is a chosen instrument of mine." The word there for instrument is this word for the body here, or the outward, the vessel. She is a weaker instrument, a weaker vessel. So the husband must dwell with her, remembering she is an instrument of God to be used by him, but she is a physically weaker instrument, and that's all he's pointing out here. There is no sense of inferiority, especially when he says that she is a fellow joint heir in Christ. She is the helpmate, as described in Genesis 2:18. She is not another man, but a woman distinct, separate, and unique in every respect. Thirdly here then, the third thing he points out, know your wives, recognize there's a physical difference. This is also, why don't you just make comment on it. This is why men should never use physical intimidation, or of any kind of intimidation, but particularly physical. Every few weeks I speak to a woman who has been abused. Every now and then I hear of this, or regularly hear of this physical abuse. Got a call this week on it. This is unfortunately a horrible phenomenon in our society. The third point here is grant her honor. Grant her honor as a fellow heir. She is equal to you before God. She is to be given respect, to be protected in personhood. But grant, the word for grant here in Greek means apportion to her or bestow upon her the honor that is to be given to her. Josephus, in his ancient writings, even uses this for Titus the king, or the general, when he returns to Rome after sacking Jerusalem. It is the word here. He is given honor. We are to honor our wives. Honor refers to the respect or the merit deserving of the object, to esteem her with reverence. If you esteem her with reverence, it won't be hard or strange for her to call you master, as Matt spoke up last week. Assign to her the value that she has. The word here also for honor is the word, it's related to the word precious, or to give her precious objects. Give her the honor of a great precious object. Consider your wife of great, great value, like a precious stone, or more so. Assign her a place of honor. This involves how you speak to her. How many husbands, how many of us speak harshly or wrongly to our wives from time to time? Slough her off, ignore her, but then fail to give honor. How can our children give honor to their mother if the father does not give honor to the mother? In Ephesians, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, you knew we had to hit this. Just the beginning with verse 25, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. We are to nourish and cherish our wives, to love them as we love our own bodies, to bring nurture and growth, to furnish the nutrients, to cover them with love, to be kind and gentlemanly, not allowing resentments to grow out of small hurts. To be honest and caring and forgiving of one another. And the thing about this passage that I think is really, really crucial is that men have to understand that they are the thermostat for the home. If things aren't going right, if things aren't going this way, oh, it's my wife's fault. Oh, it's the fault of both of us. No. Not according to Peter. Not according to Paul. Men have to be fulfilling these activities to honor their wives, because she is not only created in the image of God, but she is a fellow heir. One who shares the same lot. One who is a child of Christ. How can you love God whom you have not seen if you can't love your brother whom you have seen? Or in this case, your sister you have seen. If, as heirs of Christ. Now, we've covered those three important elements. Recognize the physical weakness of a wife. Give her honor, she is due. Know her. Because if you don't do these things, you won't be happy. Life won't be good. You won't be blessed. You won't prosper. Notice that Peter doesn't say any of those things. Here's the verse that we, or the section that we don't preach. We don't talk about this next section. What Peter says is if you don't do these things, your prayers won't go through. God will not listen to your prayers, man, unless you're doing these things. There will be a roof over your prayers, blocking them from going to God. This is a striking and shocking part of this passage. So that your prayers may not be hindered. If you are not treating your wife the way you ought to, the way it's laid out in Scripture, your prayer life will be really bad. Your prayers will be hindered. You want a good prayer life? Honor and know your wife. Next time a man says to you, man, what's wrong with my prayers? God's not answering them. First question we might ask him is this. You honoring and knowing your wife? Wait, where'd that come from? Came from here. Isn't that hard? Isn't that straight? So, if we understand, though, the rest of Scripture, it shouldn't be a shock to us. After all, Psalm 66, 18 says this, if I regard wickedness in my heart, then God will not hear. Do you want a roof over your heads blocking your prayers? If you want a roof there, then don't honor your wife. Peter says, to honor your wife, not to be happy, not to have a good marriage, not even because she's in the image of God, but so your prayers won't be hindered. Husbands who honor their wives and know their wives will have an effective prayer life. What a baffling yet marvelous element or relation or correlation here. No Christian husband should presume that any spiritual good would come out of his life without effective prayer. And you can never have effective prayer unless you are living in an understanding way and giving honor to your wife. On the positive side, we can put it this way. The result of understanding and honoring your life will be an effective prayer life. And sort of summarizing this, and I think I will stop after this next point, or this next aspect, is this. Husbands, we should ask ourselves this. Are we partners or competitors? As you know, much of my life has been wrapped up in sports, and I like to think of marriage as a team sport. Not where we're competing against each other, but we're on the same team. We're on the same team. So often we're like this instead of like this. Opponents, enemies, competing, clashing. No, you won't get anywhere without the other one. She won't get anywhere without you. How can two become one without knowing and understanding one another? This is done through kindness and love, not selfishness, not revenge, not retribution or retaliation. In concluding, let me remind you of the 4 points of this one verse. 4 rich points. Husbands, know and understand your wives. Study her. Make that part of your life's education. Don't say in despair, I'll never understand women, I'll never understand my wife. No! Try to know her. Try to understand her. Find out what makes her tick. Realize she's physically weaker. Although I've been at times when I'm so physically weak that I know that my wife was physically stronger than me just 2 weeks ago. My gout type thing was so bad in my hand, I was trying to open a jar. You know, that's the one thing you guys can do that our wives can't do, open a jar. Okay? I was trying to open a jar, couldn't open a jar. I said, Pat, can you open the jar for me? She opened the jar for me. It's a humbling thing. But nevertheless, generally she is physically weaker, but not weaker spiritually, morally, or emotionally. Grant her honor. Know her and honor her. And the failure to understand and not grant honor to your wife will lead to a weakened prayer life. On the other hand, understanding her and knowing her will enhance your prayers. Let's pray. Lord, it's hard sometimes to see so much packed into one little verse. So much that we can all be convicted of. So much that we can all do better and work on. And Lord, this morning we acknowledge that the only way we can live righteously before you in these dimensions and in all dimensions of life is by the strength of your Spirit, by your mercy and your grace extended to us in Jesus. So this morning, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us as we mistreat each other, as wives who fail to truly honor their husbands, and as husbands who fail to truly seeking out knowing their wives and meeting those needs. Father, may we be teammates with one another and not opponents. Give us the grace to persevere in our marriages, in our personal walk with you. May we have a vision of what it ought to be. And may you give us the strength to work in that direction. In Jesus' name we pray.